What's going on, beautiful people? Welcome back to the channel. It's your man, Jamil Muhammad. Thank you all so much for tuning in once again to another video. Today we have a very, very special guest.
Hello guys, my name is Julie Biaskalin. I currently work in the mental health field as a mental health technician, and I am a health enthusiast. I love working out. I do Muay Thai and I do weightlifting and a little bit of boxing. And I'm happy to be here today.
I'm happy to be your host for today. This is our very first video podcast for this channel, and I'm very excited and honored that you will be my guest. So I guess we can start on the way that I came across Julie. I saw her on Instagram and I saw that she was putting out positive messages centered around health, physical fitness, mental health, and even she had a couple little motivational videos from way back when. So I thought that it would be important for her to give her perspective on different topics surrounding health. And I guess we can just get into the questions.
Let's do it.
Okay. The first question is, how important is physical wellness to you and how did you get there?
Okay. Physical wellness is a very important part of my life. I'll say like top three. And I really didn't notice how important it was until quarantine and we were not allowed to go to the gym and we were all isolated. And I just saw my mental health just going down super fast. And then as soon as I started to work out again, work out outside and, you know, try to do what I can do with my situation, it went back up.
Right.
So, it goes hand in hand, physical and mental health.
What were you going through at that time where you felt like, I need to just take some action right now, I have to improve my mental health?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was going on? What was going on in your head at that time where you decided to make that change?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just didn't want to be depressed.
Right.
I didn't want to be, you know, not getting things done, just feeling bad about myself and unhappy.
Right.
And I was like, enough is enough. There is a certain time. There needs to be a certain level of, obviously, you processing your feelings and allowing yourself to feel and letting yourself know it's okay to feel, you know, but then after a certain time, you need to put action into it and say, okay, what can we do from here?
Right. And I've noticed one of my mentors from undergrad, he was saying that he was one of those really, really macho men. He was just like, he told me, he said, Jamil, you need to, he's like, you're going to be sad for about 10 to 15 minutes, then after that, you gotta get out of it, you gotta escape from it. Like,
right.
you can't just incubate in that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to acknowledge the emotion, and even if you could figure out the root, acknowledge it, but don't stay there.
Yeah.
Let it pass. Right.
Absolutely.
I was reading Thinking Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was the audio version, it's on YouTube if y'all wanna watch it, but he was talking about how he was having failure after failure after failure, and he went into a depression after when his companies had failed, and he literally said, I willed myself out of my depression. Well, the book said that he willed himself out of his depression. So he made decisions and he said, I have to do something with this issue. I cannot stay here. I have to be successful. I have a mission. I think it was like a 20-year mission.
Mm-hmm.
But he made the decision to come out of that space.
I feel like it's important to, like, when you're that symptomatic, like when you're that depressed, when you're that anxious, you need to understand that those thoughts saying, oh, I can't do this, I don't want to do this, I can't keep going, you need to understand that those thoughts are not you. Those thoughts are not your thoughts. That's the depression talking, or that's the anxiety talking. So I feel like it makes it easier when you distinguish what are your thoughts and what are not your thoughts for you to kind of get up.
Exactly. Whether somebody says something to you or an experience that you're feeling, we tend to take it personally.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, I must be a sad person because I'm sad right now.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not. That's just how you're feeling. That's not you. Or if you do something that somebody accuses you of doing, that does not mean that it's necessarily true just because they might have pointed out a flaw or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something. It's just an opportunity for you to improve if that's what you want. So
yeah.
Understand your reality, right?
Feelings are not facts. That's what my therapist says all the time to me. When I give my feelings, she's like, Julie, feelings are not facts. Let's look at the facts.
That literally allows you to separate from what you think reality is and what reality actually is.
Yeah.
So I could feel like this is my situation, doesn't make it true. That's but our feelings seem to amplify or exaggerate a situation, and it might skew the reality view.
Mm-hmm. I always tell myself that every time I'm feeling down, my feelings are not facts, Julie. Let's look at the facts. Mm-hmm. And then it really does help me get out of that state. Yeah.
I work with children, so we're always dealing with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm gonna use that for next time we speak next Tuesday. So
do it.
Because it's short and simple. I go on a tangent and then they're just like, they already checked out like 5 minutes after. I'm just like, I'm just keep it simple. Feelings are not facts.
Mm-hmm.
What are the 3 most important aspects in your life right now?
Okay. So the first thing that I'm focusing on right now is creativity and getting in touch with my creative side again. When I was younger, all I did was write poems and books, and I played with dolls and I acted and I danced, you know, but I feel like as I grew up and got older and got into society, I felt like I allowed other people's thoughts change my perspective. Thoughts like, what's the point of writing a book if you're not going to publish it? What's the point of painting and drawing if you're not going to be famous, you know? And it's like hearing all of that, I'm like, okay, I feel like maybe I need to change. Maybe I need to fit into society or what people say is right. And I feel like now as an adult, I'm at a place where I feel more lost and I feel disconnected with my inner child, and now I want to do more creative things, you know? Now that I've become more aware of this, I do want to be more creative. I want my inner child to run wild and free,
mm-hmm.
you know? I want to take things less seriously.
Yeah. I think that's important, especially remembering how, I won't say old people, but I'll say seasoned individuals or elders. They always go back to their glory days and their young days,
mm-hmm.
trying to relive that. And yeah, you need to stay young now. Like, don't wait till you're old to try to still be young.
Right.
Like, do some impulsive, silly things sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, a few years ago, I made a fort. When I was a kid, I used to make forts, but I made a fort when I was in college,
uh-huh.
as an adult. Stressing, finals. Y'all know how the finals go. Capstone, I made a fort in my apartment, and it was just like, have some fun. Like, yeah, you're an adult. That doesn't mean you have to be an adult, meaning you have to take everything so seriously. You can't have a sense of humor. You have to walk around with this stale face and can't joke around. And man, don't take life so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Every person that has lived life for years, so don't take it so seriously. Enjoy where you are.
Right.
So I'm enjoying where I am, and I'm going to jump off the couch.
The second thing that I'm focusing on is just thoughts and becoming aware of my thoughts. And especially when I start new projects, because I have a lot of negative habitual thoughts that come in my head. If something's hard, I think thoughts like, let's say for example, I have a basketball and I'm trying to shoot, right? And I miss. And I have thoughts like, oh, man, I suck at this. Or like, oh my God, I'm such a failure, right?
Yep.
And that feeling arises of me being a failure. But I've been working on just pausing and noticing that thought and saying, okay, you know, you feel like a failure, but that those are feelings. Let's look at the facts. Are you really a failure? Where are the facts in your life that said that you're a failure?
That goes back to what you were saying earlier, like these situations don't define you. So I could mess up, I could do something clumsy as I usually do. Would I call myself a clumsy person? No, because I think that'll make me more clumsy.
Right.
But just because you mess up, that does not mean you are now that mess up.
Right.
So you have to mess up in order to get better anyway.
Right.
Was it from Frederick Douglass? He said, without struggle is no progress. So in order for you to progress and become a better person, a better individual, you have to struggle, you have to mess up. And really, your thoughts, like you said, your thoughts is what's going to allow you to keep going, to persist mm-hmm. towards your goal. I laugh at myself when I mess up. I'm like, bro.
That's good.
Bro, you are tripping, man. What are you doing? I'm just like, and what can you do after that? You just got to keep trying.
Right.
So
and that ties back to being, you know, like a child again.
Yeah.
Like kids, when they fall off something, they just laugh and, you know, whatever. They try again. They don't mm-hmm. think too much about it.
Right.
You know, they don't think, oh, I'm a failure, da 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 da. Like, they're very free.
Yeah.
And I feel like those two things kind of tie together for sure. So the last one, I would definitely say becoming aware of my energy levels. And, you know, your energy, everything is in a cycle. You know, we're like the moon, we go through phases and like the seasons, you know, there's a season for growth, there's a season for rest. And I feel like that's the same throughout your day. You have days and times where you're more energized, and then there are times where you're least energized. And I've been reading this book, In the Flow,
mm-hmm.
And it's been teaching me not only do you need to know your energy levels throughout the day, but also throughout the month, especially for women in our, you know, menstrual cycle. It's so important. Yeah, so that's another thing I've been kind of just like paying attention, taking note of, you know, what every month this week I'm, you know, really tired. So let me prepare for that, you know?
Like as women,
mm-hmm.
what should they be aware of?
Okay, so one of the main things, I love this, is it basically talks about how a lot of our society runs on, we kind of applaud toxic masculinity, where we're like, yes, produce, being busy all the time, and constantly working is applauded, you know? And I feel like women, we've been kind of, same as males, you know, everybody basically, we've been kind of conditioned, that's the way to be. You're, you know, when someone asks you, how are you doing? You say, oh, I'm busy. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
a badge. Like, it's something to be proud of,
yeah.
you know? But that book really focuses on channeling your feminine energy. And this is not just for females, too. This is for males. Males and females, we all have both masculine and feminine energy within us. And it's important to be balanced. So the book really goes into getting into your feminine energy and respecting that, allowing things to come to you, you know, understanding that there's a phase for working and then there's a phase for rest.
Right.
And then there's a phase for contemplation.
That working, definitely, definitely masculine, hard, grind, you know, that's where you're trying to stimulate some growth. But you can't even have that growth if you don't have the feminine aspect. So the rest,
right.
recovery, go get a massage. Like, not even just when it comes to the gym, but in life, whatever you're pursuing, you have grind time, but you need to have time to rest. If you don't, you're not going to do anything but keep destroying yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the hormone cortisol,
mm-hmm.
it's important for, they call it the stress hormone, for breaking things down. But you have to give yourself time to build back up. Be patient with yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you can grow while you're being patient with yourself. That's self-love to me. Patience with yourself.
Oh, yes.
Send some help, please. I need help plenty. All right. Okay, question number 3. What is the most effective way to manage your time so that you are productive?
Okay, so kind of like tying back to what I just said about energy, I think it's important to be aware of your energy levels, not mine or his, your energy levels, because everybody's different. I might be a morning person where I have more energy in the morning, and then, you know, he might be a night person where he has more energy at night and he's more creative at night, you know? So I think it's important to become aware of your daily energy levels and then adding your routine to it. Routine that supports your energy levels. So for example, let's say I have more energy in the morning, so I want to wake up in the morning, right? And certain habits, bad habits, will kind of get in the way of that. So what I've noticed is I love, first thing in the morning, I love going on my phone and just scrolling.
Yeah.
See who posted what's going on social media. And I feel like it just sucks me in, and then I spend a whole hour in bed. Now, that energy that I could have spent towards doing something important, no, I spent it, scrolling on Instagram.
Mm.
So I feel like it's important to know that if you know these habits of yours, you can, put barriers. So what I do now is I have a rule. I have 3 tasks in the morning that I get done, and then I reward myself with social media. Or I put on a podcast in the morning, and that keeps my mind busy, so I'm not inclined to be on my phone.
That aspect is key.
Yes.
Because we live in the world of instant gratification.
Oh,
so anything,
yeah.
We get the reward before we do the work. And it's like, that's backwards. We're supposed to work first, then get the reward later. So... And I'm guilty. I mean, I wake up and it's like muscle memory at this point.
Yeah.
I'm just going on my phone and looking Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything. And it's, how is this adding any value to my life? Is this part of my routine? Like you said before, the routine is key. Is this part of my routine? Is this making me better as a human being? Not really. No, I'm not being productive. I'm just scrolling. Then I'm losing energy because my attention is just
right.
on pretty much nothing. I'm not productive. So that can't be a key for my productivity. So it's difficult because it's so habitual, but it is becoming a large part of my routine.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a break from it and then rewarding it later.
Yeah.
On to the 4th question. I want you to share a life-changing or impactful story that dramatically changed your life.
This was a time where I had just gotten out of a very toxic relationship. And I was very unhealthy attached to that person. And going through the breakup was very difficult for me. I was going through depression, basically. And one night, I was like crying right before bed. And I was just... I've never been... Prior to this... I knew that there was a higher power, but I didn't, it just never really was in my reality, I guess. I wasn't aware of spirituality or anything of that sort, but I just was so desperate. I was like, let me pray. So I prayed, and I was like, I was just like, I can't do this. I'm having a really hard time. I need help. I need guidance. And I was like, as I was dozing off to sleep, I was thinking, I wonder what so-and-so is doing right now, right? And then I go to sleep. And then in the dream, it was a very interesting dream. Like, in the dream, I hope you guys have seen The Grudge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Several times. Yeah.
She's so scary.
It's
I'm
one
so
of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, gosh. I'm so scared of her. So she was in my dream. So... It was like, it was crazy because I heard my brother scream. I have an older brother. And I ran into the hallway and he was at the top of the stairs. I was at the bottom and I'm looking at him and there's The Grudge, basically. Someone similar to her. Kind of like, just like taking over his body. It was like just black clouds. And I got so freaked out, obviously, because that's my brother. So I closed my eyes and I screamed. I was like, ah! And then I opened my eyes and we switched places. So my brother was safe and now I was at where he was. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, shoot, like that girl is behind me. And next thing you know, like everything just changed. Like it's like we changed from a different scene and we were like in this room and I saw this girl standing in front of me. I couldn't really see the details of her face, but I felt her energy and I knew that she was me, but her energy felt different. She felt divine.
Right.
And she basically looked at me and she was like, Julie, it's time to let go. This is not good for you. It's time, And she's like, I have to go now. But before I leave, I'm going to give you one wish, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. I'm like, I want to see what he's doing right now. So she takes me to his room and I see what he's doing. And she's about to leave. And I'm like... Wait, I'm like, so what are you? I'm like, are you God? Are you an angel? What are you? And she started laughing. She's like, something like that. And then I was like, okay, I'm like, so when can I see you again? And she's like, I'm always here. It's like, whenever you need me, I'm always here. And then after that, I woke up from the dream and I felt like just so connected. And that's when really like my spiritual journey started through that dream. Like after that, I started getting into spirituality. I started getting into fitness. That was a very pivotal moment in my life. Have you seen that? So like a cartoon is like Christmas Carol or something when like the ghosts of his past are coming. Like that's what it felt like to me. I was like, you're gonna give me a wish? I was like, okay.
I remember, is that the one with Scrooge? Is that what? Okay.
The old man with gray hair.
Real stingy.
Yeah.
I remember Scrooge. There's a couple Scrooges in my life. But we're not going to do that. Not exactly for me. I didn't have a dream experience that was pivotal for me.
Mm-hmm.
I started taking health and wellness more seriously after I got food poisoning, maybe my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
I had food poisoning for maybe a week. The worst experience, the worst pain of my life. And I was like, I have to take care of this body because I really felt like I was about to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I have to take this more seriously. Then the following year, I started taking my life more seriously, fasting, eating better food. The dream aspect, I think there's more to it, especially when things come to you.
Mm-hmm.
As you are dreaming, because your mind is in a different place. I don't really know the science behind
mm-hmm.
the different wavelengths and alpha wave, beta wave, but it's so vivid. Like, that's real.
I have very vivid dreams, like very vivid dreams.
Yeah.
And I remember, it's just like crazy because it's like a dream that I felt like was this pivotal moment in my life, you know. But after that dream, just so much came from that. I really felt just connected to the universe and to God, you know.
You have a dream journal?
I used to.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to have a dream journal, but I have so many journals. I got tired of it. I was like, man, I can't keep track of everything. Like, I just need to focus on one journal.
Right.
So, yeah.
I used to try to experiment with lucid dreaming.
Uh-huh.
And I had some crazy experiences. I do have a couple of journals where I wrote down, like, as soon as I wake up,
uh-huh.
write down exactly what happened, like, every detail I can remember. And that was, I wouldn't say it was scary at all. It was fun, but I had friends that tried it. And it was like, man, it was the most scary thing I ever experienced. I'm like, it was dope for me, like, trying to astral project and just, you know, being curious and everything, but.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's experience is so different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my experience of getting into spirituality and faith was through a dream. But then other people's is different, you know? But I think the main point is, you know, having faith and having some sort of, you know, you don't have to believe in, like, one specific thing, but just having believing in something divine and knowing that there's a path for you and trusting that.
Yeah. Especially in this time, there are many paths, but I think the destination is the same. So you have many doors,
mm-hmm.
you can go through this door, go through that door, but there's one reality, one truth. I think there are many paths to the same destination. My path could be different from another person's. That doesn't mean that they're not getting to truth, but that doesn't mean truth isn't along their path.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhism.
Oh, yeah,
Buddhism,
yeah. I wouldn't really, a lot of people get confused with what I talk about and stuff because they're like, oh, so you're religious. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm spiritual. What that means is you're open to everything but attached to nothing,
right.
You know? And I think I find religion beautiful. Because when I meet people that are religious, they give me, you know, they talk and they give me all these ideas. And when I see it, I just feel like everybody, every religion is so unique. It just kind of shows how different people are, but yet they all believe in a higher power.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's different. What they believe is different, but it's the same thing in a sense, for
right.
me at least. Yeah.
But that was my experience, like. You could have this style of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You could have this style of doing something. You could have jujitsu, you can have judo, you can have karate. Is it a form of self-expression? Yes, that's the truth. And before we go, I wanted Julie to share anything that she wanted to leave the audience with, social media tags, advice, takeaways.
Mm-hmm. You guys can follow me on Instagram.
Follow
it's July.bay, B-A-Y. And I think the last thing that I want to leave you guys with is this affirmation that I always say in my head, and that is, you are lovely, you are lovable, and you are loved always.
Don't forget to follow her. I'll put her Instagram, her social media tags in the description. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe, and leave a comment. And don't forget to support the Patreon. We have a brand new Patreon page created for this channel. If you would like to support, please do so. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Once again, we out of here. Peace.
Yay!
Jesus.
We did it!
It only took 13 hours. Woo-hoo. Okay.